to the Future. We are now back in our original time slot and time duration for Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and now largest segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize that the world's religious, political, economic, academic, and media institutions are corrupt, and who are beginning to question your military, recognizing that all of these human institutions are counterproductive and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 2 hours, is 877-300-7645. It has been anticipated now for several days that the Communist Party would prevail in the Greek elections. And it has occurred. And it has occurred decisively. The left-wing Syriza Party, led by young Alexis Tsipras, reached the election day vote over this past weekend with a huge surge. His mantra had been, democracy will return to Greece. It's interesting in a way, because what Tsipras has been campaigning for is to cast those who bailed Greece out, who were there to provide funds for Greece when Greece was bankrupt, when the Greek system of overindulging unproductive citizens and of overburdening productive citizens failed, and when the experiment in socialism in Greece collapsed. He wants to label those who bailed them out as dictators, as horrible manipulators, as vampires even, parasites, oppressors of the Greeks. Those are the ones who bailed them out. And just as is the has been the case and will be the case with the Ukraine, there's no interest in paying the money back. Now, Greece will, of course, want them to continue to provide money, but with no strings attached and with absolutely no regard to the lenders. So he said democracy will return to Greece. It's interesting here. Greece is the, actually Greece is not. It's Sparta is probably the birthplace of democracy. And Sparta is noted to be amongst the most brutal regimes in all of human history. It was an oligarchy and just absolutely ruthless on its own people and on its neighbors. But that democracy is the tyranny of the majority over the minority. In this particular case, Tsipras only got about a third of the vote, but that was more than enough to dominate a parliamentary kind of election. And they will impose their will over those who are productive. He is actually leading a crusade that we're going to witness around the world. This idea that the countries that have overindulged failure, who have consistently rewarded failure with all kinds of entitlements, who have consistently choked the productive citizens of their country so that the economy falters, who have bankrupt their countries, as is the case with the United States. I mean, Greece is just simply a few years ahead of the U.S. in percentages. But the fact is that under those circumstances, the ones receiving the entitlements begin to feel entitled. They have no incentive to work. In fact, no one has any incentive to work. Those who are productive because they're taxed and regulated to the point where there's no point. And those who receive the entitlements, they feel entitled. They actually think they deserve the money. That there's no reason for them to live in austerity, even if they're not working. even if they're doing nothing that's productive. And they begin to blame those who have provided the money that they have not earned for their situation. It's class warfare. It's classic of the Obama administration. It's been what he has been all about for the last 6 years. His last speech in the State of the Union was nothing but class warfare. It's blaming the productive for the plight of the unproductive. And having the unproductive feel resentment even though they're receiving unearned entitlements. Well, that's the case in Greece. It was eminently predictable on this program years ago. I did a series on Tsipras and his Syriza party and said that this is exactly what's going to happen with Greece, that this notion that the Greece economic catastrophe is being averted in the Eurozone because they're providing Greece with more money. It's like giving a heroin addict 10 times the amount of drugs that they can steal or buy on their own and thinking, well, you've resolved this problem. So this is exactly what's going to happen. The campaign this man has run has been to have the lenders write off half of the $270 billion that has been loaned to them. Now, what do you think is going to happen when that occurs? So after years of what's called belt tightening imposed by Greece's creditors, and it's belt tightening only in the sense that this is a socialist government that has now is in the hands of a communist that has overindulged its unions and overindulged those who don't want to work. Led, and this the belt tightening is led, they say, by Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany. And that's been the primary punching bag, if you will, of Tsipras. But the reality here is that the reason that Merkel has a say in this is that Germans are the principal lenders. Now, I don't think the German people woke up one moment and say, you know, I think what we want to do is we want to go to work today and work extra hard so we can go loan money to the Greeks who are unwilling to work. But nonetheless, she, as head of that country, decided that she would lead the bailout of Greece. And knowing that unless Greece were to dramatically cut its government spending, that it would continue to be dependent and would have no chance of ever paying these loans back and would simply need more money, more of an influx of this heroin, if you will, she required conditions for the loan. It's like any bank. You want to go and borrow money from a bank, they will have conditions on the loan. If you don't like the conditions, don't take the money. If you take the money under those conditions, honor them. Well, the Greeks don't want to honor them, and they want to blame the Germans for imposing conditions on a loan. But noting that people now feel entitled, noting that class warfare is circling the globe, Tsipras has urged the populace, if you will, to repudiate the conditions attached to the bailout. Just repudiate them. Yeah, your word is worth nothing. It doesn't matter. They're bums. They're guys that loaned us money, they're bums. Let's repudiate the conditions that we signed our commitment to honor. And Greeks are now blaming the Germans for worsening their lives. Tsipras has also demanded that creditors write down at least 160 billion euro. $360 billion U.S. dollars. And to give the country more money and the ability to use that money to spend it as they would like. By the way, the unemployment rate in Greece, 25%. Same thing would be true, by the way, in the United States. If the United States were to diminish the influence of the government. The government right now, the public sector, is somewhere between 25 and 30% of GDP. That's how far we are in terms of a collective society. And if we were to do the same thing, if we were to say, you know, we're going to have to rein in Social Security and Medicare, they're both pyramid schemes. They're both entitlements that we cannot afford. And we're going to have to hugely reduce the size of our military and the federal government and its restrictions at large. We would diminish the size of the U.S. economy by up to 25% initially. Now, over time, the economy would readjust. The money that was being taken by government and the regulations that were stifling private sector economic growth would allow the economy to grow robustly. But initially, it would contract the size of government. That 25% unemployment would be what you would expect. That's how far we have gotten out of whack in this country, just as they have in Greece. Syriza won 149 seats, I believe, in the 300-seat parliament. Now, that's kind of interesting because that's essentially half of the seats, and he won about a third of the votes. The parliamentary system is strange indeed. Yeah, it's 36.5% of the votes and 49.8% of the seats in the parliament. The next party was 9 points behind. That was the New Democratic Party. His expected victory, and now certain victory, raises the prospect of an immediate standoff with Germany and with the entirety of the European Union. You see, the next tranche of monies is 7 billion euros. And Greece needs that money, or it will be bankrupt within a matter of months. Greg Scott, producer of Shattering Mist, said that he would like to get on that same gravy train that Greece is on. I mean, you get billions of dollars, and you don't have to pay it back. And better than just getting 370 billion dollars and being able to renounce the terms and conditions of the loan and being able to write it off and say, no, we don't want to pay it back. It's not popular around here to pay it back. You expect them to give you more money.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the old, can I borrow 10 bucks? I only have 5. Well, you can owe me the rest later. I mean, it's fantastic. It's awesome, and I can't make too much fun about it because my country's government isn't any better on it. I mean, we just print more money and.
No, in fact, we're using the same shell game that Europe decided to use, quantitative easing. In fact, Europe, I think it's about $10 billion worth of quantitative easing that they're, it's in the trillions of dollars. It's many trillions of dollars of quantitative easing that the Greeks are about, the Europeans are about to undertake. So, you know, with quantitative easing, rather than borrowing the money from a foreign country, because foreign countries gave up loaning money to the United States, and it used to be the Chinese and the Saudi Arabians and the Japanese in particular were large lenders to the United States. They provided the money that we used to go deeper and deeper into debt. But after a while, they just realized we were inflating our currency, which means we were devaluing our currency at a rate that made loaning money to the United States foolhardy. So the only way to create the illusion of solvency, since no one would loan the country money, and since it was now $18 trillion in debt, was to create the illusion of a loan. And so the Federal Reserve went through a process called quantitative easing 1 and 2, and now Europe is engaged in it, where the Federal Reserve literally creates the illusion of money and uses this illusion of money to buy bonds. And so rather than the bonds being funded by people who actually have money, the bonds are being funded by counterfeit money, money that's just made up because, well, they feel like it. And so we are now owned by, controlled by, in debt to the Federal Reserve. No, so we'll have a politician one day who will come up once America is more than $20 trillion in debt, and once there isn't any way to support the Affordable Care Act, Social Security, that pyramid scheme, the U.S. military, there's absolutely no way to support the spending of the U.S. government, and no one willing to loan us any money. And the illusion of the quantitative easing rejected. There'll be a politician just like Syriza come up in America. And he's going to say, you know, the reason that you've been asked to cut back and you're not getting increases in your Social Security and you're not having 100% of your medical care provided by your government, and that, you know, you're not getting your welfare and there's austerity here, is because of those greedy bankers. It's the one percenters. And they ought to have to pay their fair share. Their wealth will be confiscated. And in essence, with the banks, if you agree to go along with this man's philosophy, not only will you agree that the American government can confiscate people's savings without any due process, just confiscate them, but then in addition to that, that loans will be forgiven. You won't have to pay that mortgage to that awful bank. No, it'll be forgiven. You won't have to pay that auto loan. No, it'll be forgiven. All loans will be forgiven. All you have to do is sign up for the agenda. Submit your loyalty to this new leader and to his financial plan, his scheme. It's going to be the same thing. You get the money, but you don't have to honor any of the terms and conditions that you agreed to uphold. You have to pay it back. According to Tsipras, his campaign slogan was, "Hope is coming." Yeah, it's the big theme of politicians on the left and the right. Hope. Hope. Yeah, let's hope. Why? Because the past has been miserable. But if I can get you to believe in a simple concept like hope, and that hope is, let's spit in the face of those who provided hope for us in the past. So Tsipras, his campaign slogan was as thoughtless, as mind-numbingly stupid, as faith-based. Of course, communism is a religion, as hope is coming. Yes, he's the provider of hope. He is your savior. Say how. Your salvation is reneging on your promises. Your salvation is rewarding failure. What is your salvation, Mr. Tsipras? The vote, he said, is a no to unilateral austerity. Unilateral austerity. So, you want to have Europe and the United States and other countries provide money for not working, provide all sorts of over-the-top pensions and medical care that the country and your workers cannot afford, cannot pay for, aren't willing to pay for. And on their money, you're saying that you should be able to do whatever you want? No to a Europe that tried to turn grease into Merkel's punching bag, Syriza told officials on Greece's mega television. Yeah, some kind of a punch. You know, I would like Miss Merkel to turn me into a punching bag. I would do it for, say, $10 billion. You wouldn't even have to throw $360 billion my way. I'll do it for $10 billion. You give me $10 billion, and you can make me your punching bag, and you can say, you know, you need to live more frugally on your $10 billion that I just gave you. And, by the way, when your $10 billion has consumed, I'm going to give you another $10 billion, just making sure that you can remain my punching bag. Well, the flag-waving supporters hitting the streets of Athens were cheering in joy as the communist savior won the election. Now, there was an event that took place today that has those baffled that don't listen to this program. The Greek left-wing leader, he's a communist, come on, don't call him left-wing, he's a communist. Alex Tsipras, on Monday, agreed to team up with a right-wing party, a fascist party, to form a new hardline anti-bailout government determined to face down the international lenders and end a nearly 5 years of tough economic measures. The decisive victory by Cyprus Syriza's party in Sunday's election reignites fears of new financial troubles in the country that set off the regional crisis in 2009. Now, the reason I said this is surprising to those who don't listen to this program is that there is a myth, particularly in academia, particularly in amongst liberal individuals, that fascism and communism are the opposite ends of the political spectrum. And in reality, as we learned in World War II, fascism and communism are the same beast. You know, the Nazi Party in Germany was socialist. It was the National German Socialist Workers' Parties. Socialism and communism and fascism are really the same beast. I mean, the only difference and socialism and communism is some private ownership exists in socialism. And with fascism, while there is private ownership of businesses and land, for example, there is such absolute control over businesses and people's lives that control trumps ownership. In other words, if you own a business, but the government tells you how much you have to pay your employees, which employees you have to hire, what you can produce, how much you can charge for what you produce, who you can sell it to, who really owns it? The government. And that's the nature of a fascist government. Both are centric in terms of amalgamating power to a central person or group of people. And so it should not be a surprise that an extreme fascist right-wing party and an extreme communist left-wing party would find common ground. Same beast. It's a totalitarian, dictatorial, control-oriented political, economic, and to a large degree, religious zeal in its inception. So the decisive victory by Cyprus had him, after campaigning Hope is Coming, to form an alliance with a party called the Independent Greeks, who won just 13 seats, less than 10%, because he only needed two more seats. And that's his coalition party. Greece leaves behind catastrophic austerity. It leaves behind fear and authoritarianism. Yes, it's going to communism. It leaves behind years of humiliation and suffering, certainly, as it transitions to communism. Think of what happened in Russia when Russia transitioned to communism. Think of what happened in North Korea as they transitioned to communism. Think of what happened in China as 40 million people died in that country during the transition to communism, just as 30 million died in Russia in that transition to communism. Think of the consequence of that transition. Hope is coming. No more humiliation and suffering. No, it's going to be much worse. Cyprus, pumping his fist in the air, told thousands of cheering supporters in Athens on Sunday. If he was just a few miles further north in Macedonia, he would be the archetype for the Torahless one, misknown to Christians as the Antichrist. He has all, he's the right age. He's the right part of the world, just a little bit too far south, because Greece is an old country and a fairly large country, not a young, a small country. It's not lowly and little. And so I think you have to move to Macedonia to be the origin of the Torahless one of the last days. But other than just a few miles south of that origin, this man is the epitome of what you're going to be looking for. Hope is what he's going to be promising, and it'll be an economic hope based upon dishonoring a nation's commitments. Collective dishonesty, collective thievery, collective entitlement, a shift to nationalization, a shift to centralization that will be called a shift to freedom, a shift away from authoritarianism, even though that is exactly the opposite of what is happening. Hope that will bring on unimaginable suffering. That is what we're witnessing in Greece. Now, Greece is important because there is every reason to expect that Greece will be part of the Torahless ones, the Antichrist, from a Christian perspective. Union. It will be part because it is those southern European nations that are so bankrupt. The second worst country financially in Europe is Italy. That's why the Italian premier sounded off in favor of Syriza and Cyprus today. So you're likely to have joining Macedonia, Greece, and Italy in the southern realm of the European Union's countries where they are just decidedly bankrupt. It would be interesting, of course, to see Italy and Greece join in not only with Macedonia, but also with Turkey during this time to create a southern alliance surrounding the Mediterranean of countries with a blend of Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox Christianity, and of fundamentalist Islam, all around a communist leader, which is what is coming. Well, this particular article does tell us that he won 149 seats, is the actual number they ended up winning, and that he got more than that with the first alliance that he formed. The article suggests that the alliance is an unusual one between parties on the opposite end of the political spectrum, when in fact we should not see it that way. In fact, an analyst said, this is the IHS Global Insight, says, at first sight, this looks like a strange marriage. No, it isn't. fascism and communism the same beast. One of the things that has happened, I think, that led many people astray, and the John Birch Society was a huge proponent of this, this notion that there was a communist everywhere, and that the communist was the communism was the mechanism for the New World Order, and that there was this global fight between communism and capitalism, and that the capitalists needed to attack and expose and condemn communism wherever it was seen. And yet that was never the intent of those who would be the manipulators of what's referred to as the New World Order. Now, they've got nothing against communism except for the fact of private ownership. In communism, there is no private ownership, so although they have absolute control, that's not their desired plan. And plus, it goes into the face of the most dictatorial regimes on earth already, which are the Islamic countries, which are all fascist. And so you're likely to see fascism merging with communism, but that the principal onslaught, the control mechanism for the New World Order that will enrich the elitists while impoverishing everyone else with iron fist control will be fascism. And so that is what most people will be blindsided by because of statements such as these. Reuters is reporting that Russia has blaming Kiev, this occurred today, for the surge in fighting in the Ukraine. And wanted the and warned the West that an attempt to increase economic pressure on Moscow would be absolutely destructive blackmail. It is what we've been saying on this program for a long time. I don't want to create the impression that Russia is Pollyanna. They're not, or that Putin is the most charming individual on the planet. He's not. Russia is doing a lot of things which are counterproductive. Their support of the Syrian government is counterproductive. Now, productive is their ridding Syria of chemical and biological weapons. That was extremely productive. Russia's deal with Iran, which is the only reason that Iran is economically viable. But the United States pushed them into that deal based upon the sanctions that it imposed in the Ukraine. Now, the fact of the matter is that anybody who has their eyes open knows that the conflict in Ukraine was started because the United States encouraged thugs in Kiev to overthrow the popularly elected government, and that we promised those thugs that if they overthrew the popularly elected government, that we would provide, the West would provide, tens of billions of dollars for them, intelligence for them, military support for them. And that all we wanted in return was for them to attack the ethnic Russians to create a new battlefield for the Cold War so we could justify bringing the Ukraine into NATO as a dependent of Europe. That was the scheme. Well, that scheme, unfortunately, has caused the death of well over 10,000 people. It has turned a bankrupt, dysfunctional country into a war zone. And the United States, by imposing sanctions against Russia, is making its alleged war against terror an absolute farce. Its negotiations with Iran on its nuclear program, a complete farce. Its support of the Assad regime by bombing its enemies, al-Nusra and the Islamic State, a complete farce. And it's bankrupting Europe in the process. The reason that Europe is floating quantitative easing as their strategy for recovery is because of the damage that has been done by American sanctions against Russia, penalizing Russia for what the United States has done. You also have to think of this from a global perspective. I mean, imagine what the world would be saying now if it had been Russia, not the United States, that had bombed Gaddafi into submission and provided the arms to the jihadists that had turned Libya from a stable country into a terrorist hellhole. What if it had been America that had provided the weapons? What if it, I mean, Russians that had provided the weapons, not America? What if it had been the Russians that bombed the Gaddafi regime and we ended up with this terrorist hellhole in Libya? What if it had been the Russians that intervened in Egypt that brought about the dictatorship of that country, the military junta? What if it had been the Russians that had bombed the only rival of the Shiites in Yemen who just overturned that government, creating a total chaos in Yemen? What if it had been the Russians that had bombed via its cruise missiles and its drones Pakistan? What if it had been Russia that had invaded Iraq, breaking that country, giving it to Iran? I mean, Russia hasn't done, even if everything that America is saying is true about Russia, which I believe none of it, but even if it were all true, Russia hasn't done 1% of what the United States has done in terms of invading, arming, and equipping belligerents around the world and invading foreign countries, bombing foreign countries. And yet, the Obaminator wants to impose even more sanctions against Russia. Pro-Russian separatists are now beginning to prevail because they've really had enough. And we'll talk more about this in days in the future, because there's much to learn by what is happening in the Ukraine and the positions of the belligerents.